let's pass in review a little bit from the last two nights, and we'll just take this just a little bit further, but I want to try to bring everybody in the best that I can and so forth. And if you, at the end of the service, if you feel like, well, that maybe you might have missed out the last couple of nights and would like a copy of the message, and you can see my wife, she'll take your name and phone, or name and address, and send you a copy of the tape from the last two nights. Feel like at the end that maybe it's something that you needed to hear, because I believe that probably there was a lot of people got blessed. Some may have not have known what to do with last night. It kind of got in some areas that maybe they weren't used to. You know, this whole deal of like getting up each morning, hating your job, and going to that job day after day after day after day after day, day after day, day after day, with no joy. Nothing to look forward to. Because God put something else in your heart, but yet you went on to that job day after day after day. Because you are supposed to pay the bills, and you are supposed to keep food on the table for the family meal.
Right.
But He also put something in your heart.
Yeah.
Why go through all your entire life and not do what He put in your heart? Why go to that job each day, drudgery each day, whenever He's put something in your heart that you can be full of joy about doing? All you have to do is take time out and find out what His will is, what His plan is, and then begin to follow. That's what the Holy Spirit's there for. So I think maybe some of them, even though they were blessed last night, maybe didn't know quite what to do with it. Maybe it was a little different preaching than what most of us are used to. And I've found that to be true throughout the country where I've preached, that some of this is just a little bit new to people. They accept things the way it is. And, you know, I never thought to ask God. You know, I remember a story one time that T.L. Osborne told. He said something about, I don't remember totally, but there was this man that went to India and preached for like 30 or 40 years in India, and went home, went on to be with the Lord. And before he went home to be with the Lord, though, he said, he told his closest friends, he said, you know, I never stopped to ask Jesus what He wanted me to do. I just went to preach the gospel. And I went to India to do it, but I never asked Him what He wanted me to do. You know, I don't want to do that. I'm sorry, I don't want to do that. I want to know what God has for me. I want to know His plan. I don't want my plan, even if it includes preaching. I don't want to be preaching in India when I'm supposed to be somewhere else. I don't want to be preaching when I'm supposed to be helping other preachers and helps in governments. I want to know exactly what God has for me, what direction, what plan He wants me to follow. I want to be pleasing to Him. I want to be a willing instrument of His hand. That would be a shame to spend your entire life, 40, 50, 60 years. Now, y'all don't have a pastor here like that. He gets on his face before God. I know, I've already heard about the prayer time that he spends. And anybody that prays, they're going to know God's plan sooner or later. What I found is this. Is that you can get off in the wrong area, go down the wrong road, take the wrong fork. But if you're seeking God's face, He'll always set you back on the right path. It's those that are not seeking God that don't seem to find the right path. But as long as you're seeking Him, even if you get off on the wrong road, He will set you straight eventually. Anyone that's yielded to God, He will keep them on the right path. It may be a matter of time, but He'll still get them on the right path. Glory to God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Well, start with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and we're just going to pass quickly in review. I'm not going to take a lot of time. In fact, he's limiting me on time here tonight, and that's okay. We're just going to pass in review and add a little more to it tonight, and I hope that we can just get this. As I told you last night, what I like to preach and teach is things that people can take and apply in their everyday life. I believe that the Word of God, that He set the Word there for us to be able to use in our life every day on a day-to-day basis. You know, sometimes as preachers, we get this idea that the Word of God is there just for a Sunday morning service. Sunday morning sermon, Sunday night sermon. Wednesday night sermon, whatever special services we have, we get this idea that that's what the Word of God is for. The Word of God is a way of life. In August of 94, the Lord visited me in my yard there in Sepulpa. My wife were renting, and I were renting a place there in Sepulpa. I was out in the yard one day, and He came to visit me, and He said, I'm tired of you and other preachers taking my word and using it just for sermons. He said it should be a way of life. It should be a personal relationship. And I won't go into all the details because I have it on some other tape, the testimony of it all and everything. But basically what he told me was this. He said, from now on, every time you look in my word, you're going to see personal relationship. I don't want you looking for a sermon. I want you to see personal relationship. And from now on, everywhere you go, you'll preach and teach personal relationship. I want a personal relationship with my people. I remember the words very clearly. And I've not let up on it since that day because I was seeking Him for a direction. You know, I know that You're giving me a mandate if I can just grab hold of the mandate. Well, that was one of the mandates, to preach the Word concerning personal relationship. And now when I look at the Word and I see the Word of God, I see a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't see a sermon for a Friday night miracle service. I see a personal relationship. I see Him in the Word of God. I see me and Him walking in the Word of God everywhere I look. It doesn't matter whether it's the Gospels or whether it's the letters to the church. I see a personal relationship. I love the relationship that Paul the Apostle had. Hallelujah, Jesus. A lot of preachers try to stay away from Paul's teachings. It's a little too tough for them, you know. But I thrive on it. Hallelujah. So anyhow, in verse 9 of chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians, eye has not seen nor ear heard nor entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. Verse 10, but God has revealed them to us through His Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. The Spirit of God is sent for several reasons. One is to keep us until that day of redemption is complete, till Jesus returns. That's the job of the Holy Spirit, to keep us. It's important that you let the Holy Spirit have reign in your life, have a place in your life on a day-to-day basis, because it's His job to keep you until that time that Jesus returns again. That's part of His job. The other part of His job is to reveal truth. As the Spirit of Truth, we have no excuse if we leave out part of the Word of God, or if we leave out something that God has freely given to us, such as some have left out the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues, healing, miracles, all these things, they've left them out, but we have no excuse when we stand before Jesus. We're not going to be able to say, well, Jesus, my wife, my husband, my pastor, yes, amen. We're not going to be able to say, well, my pastor didn't teach me this, didn't teach me that, that evangelist didn't preach me this, didn't preach me that. We're not going to be able to say that because He sent the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Truth, to get in on our life and reveal truth to us. So we have no excuse because we have everything that's been given to us. And He's saying here, He's saying that He sent the Holy Spirit to reveal all the things of God, yes, even the deep things of God that we may not understand. And let's take it on a little bit farther. For what man knows the things of the man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, meaning your born-again spirit. Now He's switched to the born-again spirit. Your spirit, before you were born again, was dead. It was not capable of receiving, or not capable, didn't have the capacity to receive or understand the things of God. But once you got born again, the work of the Holy Spirit came in, and you were able, because your spirit man got born again, came alive in Him, and now is able to understand and receive the things of God. But up until that point, we weren't able to do so. But now that we have the Spirit of God working in us, we're able to understand. And He says, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Do you know that you have an inheritance? You know, a lot of people don't know that. You'd be surprised the places I go, the people, it's a new thing to them when I mention that we have an inheritance. You know, and then there's others that, you know, that followed some of the same stuff I did for a while, that they're a covenant person. My goodness, don't take my sonship away from me. I'm a son of God. I've inherited the same thing that Jesus had. I'm a joint heir in Him. I'm not a covenant person. I've got Jesus. I'm not a covenant person. I've got an inheritance. everything has been freely given to me by the grace of God. Hallelujah. Don't take that away from me.
Amen.
You can keep your covenant all you want.
Amen.
But that covenant was fulfilled whenever Jesus went to the cross. And now we're joined heirs in Him because He freely gave. He said, everything that the Father has in heaven is mine, and now I give it unto you. That's us. Glory to God.
Thank you, Lord.
And so He says, this is what the Holy Spirit is for. This is one of the reasons that He's sending Him, is that to reveal to us the things that have been freely given to us by God. He's to reveal our inheritance.
Yes.
Yes.
Amen.
If you don't have healing in your body and your body has infirmities or disease, He's there to reveal that there's healing available to you in the inheritance.
Amen.
Now listen, God's not stuck. He's already done everything.
Yeah.
Quit waiting for a sovereign move of God, because the sovereign move of God happened 2,000 years ago. Everything that God's going to do, He already done.
Glory to God.
You and I have it. In this inheritance that has been given to us. Are you waiting for prosperity? My friend, prosperity has already been given to you. If you don't have prosperity in your life, God is not the one stuck. Guess who's left?
Amen.
The truth hurts, doesn't it? I get to turn this stuff on myself before I ever turn it loose on you. So I know the feeling. I've already got prosperity. I tell my wife when she writes those bills out, we already got prosperity. When my body hurts and aches, you're already healed. It still hurts and aches. But it doesn't have to. And God's not the one stuck. I'm the one that's stuck. I'm the one that is my fault if I don't have the manifestation of the inheritance that God has given me in my life. But that's what the job of the Holy Spirit is. Another job of His is to transform us. He's the transformer. The transforming power of the Holy Spirit along with the Word of God. He works off of the Word of God. It says by faith that you'll access the grace of God. The grace of God is your inheritance. Everything that's been delivered to you was by His grace. We couldn't do anything to earn it. Now, if you're looking for exaltation in the body of Christ and the kingdom of God, that is something that you build faithfulness and trust with God, and He exalts you. He lifts you up. He pours out more anointing on you. But you can't earn your inheritance. It's given by grace. It's a free gift. There's nothing you could do or ever could do to earn that. But everything in that inheritance, what He's saying here when He said, I has not seen nor ear heard, what He's saying here, everything that you could ever imagine, ever hope for, ever need, ever desire, that you could ever have that was godly, everything that has already been given in this inheritance. And sometimes I think that we're the ones that shortchange ourselves. You know, God has given out and poured out all of His blessings, all of His grace, all of His mercy, and yet we're the ones stopping just short, thinking, well, this is just too much to ask God. Eyes not seen nor ear heard has heard what God has done for this body. What God has done for this life. We don't even really have, when you get down to it, folks, as much as some of us preachers think we know, we don't even have an inkling as to what the extent that God has done for us. Hallelujah. But we can know. That's what the Holy Spirit is for. This is our teacher and transformer to take us as we are. Jesus accepts us as we are. He just doesn't want us to stay there.
Amen.
Hey, folks, it's not time to camp out.
Amen.
It's not a day and time to camp out. We can think about the laurels of yesterday. I can think about everything that happened the last time I went to Peru, all the miracles, all the salvations, all the people that were filled with the Spirit. But we can't camp out in those places.
Amen.
God is a changing God when it comes to us. Now, He never changes. He's true to His Word. He doesn't lie. His Word is true. But when it comes to us, folks, He does expect us to change. Well, Brother Rogers, you'll just have to accept me the way I am. No, I won't. Because God wants to transform and change us. I've actually had people to tell me that. Well, Brother Rogers, you'll just have to accept me the way I am. No, I'm not. I'm going to pray that you're going to be transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen. Glory.
but he'll transform me some more too.
Amen.
Because that's his job to teach us. So when we're born again, then we receive life from God. And now we're able to receive the things and know the things that God has freely given. We have that capacity. So then the Holy Spirit gets involved in teaching our born again spirit. And our born again spirit then gets it across to us, and the manifestation comes. And we talked about last night about that you had to have hope before you could have faith.
Yeah.
Somebody without hope, you can't expect them to have faith.
Right.
You know, we want to shove faith down their throat, you know. And some of them don't even have hope, and hope comes before faith. The hope has got to be restored and healed before the faith can come.
Right.
Say, well, I'd like to see that in the Word of God. Well, you will before the night's over, but right now just take my word for it. But it's the job of the Holy Spirit to bring us into that place, and it's by the grace of God that He delivered all this, and then it's up to us to begin that walk and to allow the Holy Spirit to come in and begin to change and transform our life. He's to bring us up out of those things, deliver us on high, to bring us up higher and into God and the things of God. And Paul went on and he said this. We're going to skip a few verses. He talked about, first of all, he told him, he said, I can't say much to you. I can't say the things I really need to say because you're all babes in Christ. You're carnal. And this is how you know if you're carnal or not. If you've been bickering, if you've caused strife, divisions, contentions among you, Paul called you a baby in Christ. You could be the biggest preacher on TV.
Oh, yeah.
And if you're causing a division, Paul said, you're a baby in Christ.
Amen.
Oh, you're all as quiet except over in your corner. So we won't dwell too much on that because we're headed a little different direction here, but that's what he was saying. He said, you know, you all are divided. One of you said you're Apollos. The other says you're a Kenneth Hagin. The other says you're a Kenneth Copeland. The other one says you're this and of that. But he said, I can't even speak to you the way I need to speak to you because you're babies in Christ because of the divisions and strife among you. He went on, he said this. He said, be sure of the foundation. And there's but one foundation that is built upon, and that's the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ. You must be born again. You can do all the works, all the good works that you want to do. You can think you're a fine fellow, and you can think that, well, one of these days I'll give my life to Him. But this is the day of salvation. Tonight is the night of salvation. And there's but one way, and that's the cross. There's but one way, and that's to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And I wouldn't put it off if I were you. I wouldn't take a chance.
Amen.
I regret that I took so long to accept Him as my Lord and Savior. I've not had such a good time before I was saved as what I'm having now. You know, and everybody acted like, and it looked like most of them around me weren't even having fun. I just came to a point that I needed Him. So I couldn't go by their expressions or their actions because it looked like, you know, that was a terrible thing, you know. Sour looks on their face, somber and sober. You know, sober boys in one. But you know, I couldn't really see anything there at that time if I went by looks. But I came to that point that I needed Him, and there was but one answer, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. If you laid awake at night and you wondered what was going to happen to you the next day, or what would happen to you if you died, something happened to you, a car wreck or something like that? Are you trying to scare me, Brother Roberts? Well, whatever it takes to get you born again, I'll do it.
Amen.
Because I came to that point, I worried. I wondered as I laid awake at night, you know, what is going to happen to me? But then I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior, got born again, filled with the Spirit, and I've been going strong ever since, having a good time. And now I don't wonder what's going to happen to me because I already know what's going to happen to me. I'm going to preach the gospel until His time is for me to go to heaven, and at that time I'm going to meet Him in heaven. I already know what's going to happen now. I got my answer. But I had to meet Him before I got the answer.
That's right.
You'll not have an answer until you meet Him. But He said, be careful then. in. He not only said, he said, the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ, but then he said, be careful. In other words, it doesn't just stop with salvation. He said, be careful of the foundation. Be careful of how you lay upon this foundation.
Yeah.
For you're God's field, you're God's building.
Yeah.
He said, be careful.
Oh, yeah.
How you lay upon this foundation. Be careful of the doctrine is basically what he was saying. It went on down there and he said that he would destroy the man that defiles this temple. And so some of them have thought, well, that's smoking and drinking, you know, defiling this temple. Well, we know that, you know, smoking and drinking is not good for this temple, but that wasn't what Paul was talking about. He was talking about false doctrine. He was talking about being careful how you build upon this foundation. Be careful and make sure that the Holy Spirit's involved, because He's the one sent to reveal to you the deep things of God. He's the one sent to reveal to you the inheritance that has been freely given by the price of the blood that was paid.
Yeah.
He said, be careful how you build, how you continue on from salvation. Be careful how you build on this foundation.
Yeah.
And he just got through talking about the Holy Spirit, meaning this, that you're going to have to get the Holy Spirit involved in your life. As your teacher, as the Spirit of truth, as a transformer, as a comforter. You're going to have to get the Holy Spirit involved. You can't do it without Him. I can't even imagine. I can't even imagine trying to preach the gospel or trying to serve Him without the Holy Spirit involved in my life. I love what the sister said earlier tonight about that quickening of the Holy Spirit. I love those simple but yet important things that He does, that He quickens us to. But I can't even imagine trying to preach the gospel without, you know, I know you're wondering, how do you even talk? I wonder myself, they're always giving me a hard time. The farther you get under the anointing, the worse your speech is. I tell you, it's a lot better than any whiskey I ever had, I'll tell you that.
Praise the Lord.
But he said, be careful of this, how you lay on this foundation. And he was talking about the Spirit of truth guiding you into all truth in the Word of God.
Amen.
He said, be careful.
Oh.
Then we began to talk about the image that we have before us, and how we remain and camp out in the same area in our life and stay the same the rest of our life because we refuse to change our image, because we don't let the Holy Spirit in to begin to change that image and begin to change the things in our life. And talking about the Word of God as it projects an image. By His stripes you're healed.
Amen.
There's an image for you. By His stripes you were healed.
Amen.
Already healed by His stripes.
Amen.
Jesus said, I am the peace. I've overcome the world. Think about that image in the Word of God. But then we began to talk about last night, and we'll turn to Romans chapter 5. We began to talk about, I hope that's not my phone. Anyhow, we'll turn to Romans chapter 5. And we began to talk about last night what it took to make that stand, to be able, whenever we needed that image change, or when we've lost hope, or maybe we need a miracle in our body, an infirmity, maybe we need some of our relatives, some of our family off of drugs or something like that. Regardless of the stand, regardless of the circumstances, regardless what has come against us then, of getting that image before us and what it took to make that stand. While that image was being formed before us. And then even after we got that image, then before we had the manifestation of whatever we were believing for, whatever the image was, whether it be healing in your body, whether it be prosperity, walking out of poverty, walking out of a $0 month. And we talked about that earlier in the first night. We talked about a $50 month.
Yeah.
That's where you pay all the bills, including that new car payment at the end of the month. You end up with zero. You paid everything. You feel real good because you paid everything, except that's not God's perfect will. You know, He wants more for us than that. We talked about a $50 month where you had $50 left over at the end of the month, you know. Then you need to change your image to a $1,000 month or a $100 month, whatever it is, to change your image and keep changing and letting God change and transform you into that inheritance that you've been given.
That's right.
We sometimes forget everything that He's given us.
Amen.
We settle We settle. We get talked into by our flesh. We get talked into by others around us. We get talked into it by the devil to settle for what we got.
That's right.
Oh, I thank him for everything he's done. I'm not saying I'm not gracious. You know, I'm not thankful for what he's given me. I just know that he's given me more than I'm even walking into at this time. See, I know that he's given me more anointing than I'm walking in at this time. And that he's not the one stuck. That if anybody's got a problem, it's me. It's not him. I'm the one stuck. I remember. Let's talk about that image just a little bit more. I remember the time. I remember the time that before I was born again, and I went into the real estate business at 19 years old. I was always that type. I just knew there was more for me, and I didn't want to work for anybody else. I started working for the poultry plants over in Arkansas when I was 13. I lied about my age, went to work full time, and began to work in the poultry plants. And I made a decision there that if I could, I would always someday be self-employed. I'd never work for another man at some point. That's the image of it. I didn't even know God. See, the world can take the principles in the Word of God, and because they are the principles of God, they'll work.
Yeah.
You might as well say amen, because it's still true. The principles of the Word of God will work even for the world when they apply. What do you think? Positive thinking.
Yeah.
Positive talking and so forth. All these seminars that they put. What do you think that's based on? That's based on principles in the Word of God.
That's right.
I mean, how much more should we be walking in? I mean, if they can take the principles in the Word of God, not even born again, and accomplish things, how much more should we as Christians be walking in?
Yeah.
Well, you're in a heavy trip on me, Brother Rogers. Well, get up. Maybe it'll needle you right off the tree. Change your image. But I remember those days. I began to develop this image of being self-employed. I wasn't even born again. And I entered the real estate business at Stillwater, Oklahoma. And I was in, I don't know, for how many years before I finally got burnt out working 7 days a week. And it seemed like I'd done real estate 24 hours a day. I know it wasn't, but it felt like it part of the time. And I got burnt out. I moved out to Sealing, Oklahoma, in western Oklahoma. And I swore I wasn't going to go back into real estate ever again. But something kept rising up in me. And I just couldn't get away from it, that I was supposed to be doing something self-employed. I was supposed to be on my own. I wasn't. At that time, I just got a job running a road grader out there for the county. And this began to develop in me, once again, this image. And I didn't know any other way to go, but I was an auctioneer, and I had done auctions all over the state. I had taught at auction schools and so forth. So I was an auctioneer, so I thought, well, you know, out there in that area, when you sell a piece of real estate, at that time, they didn't know anything about private sales, for sale sign on it and selling it. It was every time you sold something, you sold it at auction. So that's all they knew, and I thought, well, I'll just enter back into that. So, you know, it was the time that I started there. I was having to run that road grader, and I'd run that road grader, and I'd jump off of it in the evening, take a quick shower, put on a tie, and go out and try to do some business. That's how bad I wanted this image to come forth. And, you know, like I said, now, I wasn't born again. So if I tell you some things, you remember that. I wasn't born again at that time. You know, I was doing anything I could to get started, to break into business. There were these people there that had the real estate auction business tied up for, 50 years. And then their father before them, 50 years. It was like nobody had a chance to break in. So I had an image before me. Now, understand, I wasn't born again. I had this image before me that I went for. You know what that image was? Take all their business away from them. Like I said, I wasn't born again then, so you got to give me a little slack there. You know, and I didn't care how I did it. And one of the tricks that I used was going through the newspaper and finding the obituaries.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And so I'd get a hold of their attorney that was handling that particular estate, and I would try to do that sale, you know. Like I said, I wasn't born again, so you had to cut me a little bit of slack there. I was using anything and everything that I could to meet this image, to accomplish this that was in my heart.
Yeah.
It was strong in my heart, and I knew I had to do something special or something extra to meet this image or for it to come to pass, because these guys had this tied up for many, many generations. And so I was going to have to do something different. But that image stayed before me that, well, I didn't take all their business. Folks, don't worry about it. They're not in the poorhouse somewhere. Believe me. You know, I didn't take all their business, but I made a pretty good dent in it. Before it was over. It took me about 3 to 5 years, somewhere along there. But I kept this before me. And I knew what I wanted. I knew the desire in my heart. And I knew what I wanted. I knew what to go for. And I didn't even know God. Now I wish I'd have known God at that time. I could have even done more. Well, you couldn't have done some of those things you've done. No, no, but He would have provided something else that was legal. But you know, even then, without God, I had this image before me of something that I was headed for. You know, I missed so much. I'd get off of that road grader, dusty and dirty, take a shower, put on a tie, and go meet with somebody that was talking about selling property and so forth. And then I gave them another option, something they had never heard of, most of them. And that was that they could sell it at private sale. We'll put up a sign on it. If it isn't sold in 90 days, we'll auction it off, you know. Things like that. But I accomplished it. Regardless how I accomplished it, I accomplished it. But that image was before me, even though I didn't know God. Well, how much more? As you allow Him to begin to work in your life, then that image will begin. That image, that desire, whatever He puts in your heart, you need to follow that desire and serve Him with it.
Yeah.
Serve Him with it. See, we think, well, you're just talking about, you know, getting rich, you know, and all this. No, I'm talking about taking what He's given you, the desire put in your heart, and increasing the kingdom of God with it. Where you see these people that start off right, and they're taking that desire that God put in their heart, this image and this vision out before them, and they're taking it, and all of a sudden they end up buying all these houses, all these new cars, and all this. It's something that God started, and the devil got in there and perverted it.
Yes, amen.
But God intended for those finances to flow right through.
Amen.
Not stop.
Amen.
Flow right through. Amen. Right on through them as the vessel. Just like the anointing flows through me, then the finances flow through them into the kingdom of God.
Yes.
Souls.
Yes.
In heaven.
Amen.
But it all begins with an image.
Thank you.
It all begins with a change on the inside. It all begins with quitting that camping out idea.
Yeah.
Beginning the change.
Yeah.
And saying, Holy Spirit, make that change in my life. What is your direction? I need to know your plan from start to finish. Give me your plan. I surrender myself that I might know your plan. Begin to let the Holy Spirit begin to make those changes. And then there's those times that we go through. You know, even as preachers, you know, I've seen a lot of preachers. I went through it myself. Start out in the ministry. All of a sudden, you know, all of that enthusiasm in the ministry, all of a sudden is gone out the window. Hitting that first obstacle, what we call a ceiling on their life. Getting so far into the ministry, and all of a sudden they're ready to give it up. They don't know whether they want to preach anymore or not. They don't know which way's up. They're so confused. It's because they hit a ceiling in their life. They hit a wall in their life. Well, you have to have something to carry you through those times, whether you're a minister, whether you're not a minister, you're a believer out there, and you hit this wall in your life. You know, cancer's attacked your body, and you need to make the stand. Well, you better have something. Have something to take you just a little bit farther. And that's what that brings us to last night. We just got right now to last night. We're just now at last night. And so in Romans chapter 5, starting in verse 3, it says, and not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. He says that we also glory in tribulations.
Yeah.
And we talked about that word glory is translated. translated to mean, interpreted to mean, in the Greek, to mean worship.
Yeah.
We worship in tribulations. And then this tribulation, it's not the tribulations that produces it, but tribulation produces perseverance. It's not the tribulation that produces it, but it's how you go through the tribulation.
That's right.
Yeah.
That produces the perseverance.
Yeah.
See, at some point, you've got to develop that stamina, that perseverance to make the stand. It doesn't matter whether you're in the ministry or whether you're facing some illness in your body, you know, like diabetes, heart disease, cancer, things like that. Maybe you're facing financial bankruptcy. Maybe you're facing bankruptcy of the mind.
Yeah.
No.
And you got to make that stand and that walk out of it. And people tell you, well, you just got to have the faith. Makes you want to just slap them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you just got to have the faith. It's by faith, brother. It's by faith, sister. You just got to have the faith. Well, would you tell me how to get the faith? Well, I'm sorry, I can't do that. I just know what so-and-so told me, and they said it was by faith. That's all I know. It's what somebody else told me, and they learned it from Brother such-and-such, and Brother such-and-such learned it from their pastor.
Yeah.
Yep.
Would you tell me? I bring people up here so I can preach to them. I have preaching material that way. So would you tell me how to get that faith? How to reach that faith if that faith is when I have the manifestation of it? How do I get to that faith? Well, that's what he's talking about here. He said this worship and this tribulation and these circumstances in these times that something attacks your body, your finances, or your mind. In this time, he said, to worship in these tribulations. Worship in these circumstances, because how you handle those tribulations then produces this perseverance, the ability to be able to stand a little bit longer, to stand a little longer, to have that stamina, to stand a little longer than you could before. A little longer than you could yesterday, because you lifted your hands and worshiped the Lord Jesus during these tribulations. Well, Brother Rogers, I'm not used to doing that. I'm used to going to Brother Gerald and let him hold my hand. Every time I have a tribulation or circumstance, I go to him and let him hold my hand. Well, you need to repent. Well, he's a pastor. That's what he's supposed to be. No, it's not. Well, he told Peter, he said, do you love me?
Yeah.
Peter said, you know I do, Lord. He said, feed my sheep. He said, Peter, do you love me?
Yeah.
You know I do, Lord. Tend my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Lord, you know all things.
Yeah.
You know all things. Yeah. He never called a pastor to hold your hand. He called the pastor to teach and feed you that you might grow up fat, sassy, and real strong. That you can make the stand yourself. What if pastor's not there? What if you're stuck out in the middle of a wheat field in western Kansas and there is no pastor? What are you going to do then? What if your not-headed husband deserts you, divorces you, and you don't have anybody, and all your friends leave you because they were good Christian people. They couldn't stand to be seen around you, so they just left you by yourself. What are you going to do then? Well, it's happening every day. I don't want to get started on that subject. I have a tendency to butcher sacred cows, religious cows, and grind them up into hamburger and stuff like that. So I'll go on. I'll skip over that thing. But what if you're struck with cancer? What are you going to do to make that stand if you don't have anybody to hold your hand? And by the way, he wasn't called to hold your hand. And when you get to heaven, he's not going to be there to hold your hand. He's going to be standing before the Lord Jesus Christ himself for what he done, his accountability for what he was given. What did he do with what he was given?
Amen.
Same as I'm not responsible either. I'm responsible to deliver the truth and accountable for it. I'm accountable for what has been delivered to me. And then I'll account for that whenever I get to heaven and stand before Him. Just as you will account for what has been given to you. Maybe you haven't been given as much to do, but you'll still stand in accountability for what has been given to you. And I'll not be there to hold your hand. I'll not be here to hold these that came with me. I'll not be there to hold their hand. They'll stand before the Lord Jesus Christ themselves. My wife won't be there to hold my hand. I'll not be there to hold her hand. She'll stand before Jesus. Did she do what she was called to do? And by the way, she's doing it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You ought to see what goes on behind the scenes of a traveling ministry. A lot more than you would ever imagine. But we all stand before Him. And we can't blame this person or that person that we didn't make the stand. We can't get to heaven early and say, "Well, Lord, I couldn't finish my race. I wasn't able to finish the full course that you set before me because such and such wasn't there to hold my hand during this cancer." Now, we'll be there to help you. We'll be there to teach you the truth and get you into that place that you can walk out of what you're in. But as far as our responsibility, it ends with us being accountable for what has been given to us and you accountable for what's been given to you.
Yes, amen.
If you need to walk out of cancer, you need to be hearing these messages like this. That you can grab a hold of a piece of truth in the Word of God that will get you through and provide the stamina for you to be able to stand during these tribulations. Because then he said this, he said how you go through this tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance produces character. Well, we could stop and we could really spend a lot of time on character because nobody really preaches about it. I'm talking about lying. Being good to your word, good to your commitment. I said, good to your commitment, faithfulness, character. Not being lazy, providing for your wife, providing for your children, being the covering, as Jesus was the covering to the church. Well, this is what I hear around Tulsa. Well, this is what I hear around Tulsa. Well, I had my wife to go to work so I could quit my job and seek God. Well, come over here. I'll take a horse whip and beat you with it. We'll see how your attitude is after that. Jesus called you to be the covering man.
Amen.
Of your wife. Just as Jesus is the covering to the church. Okay, we'll go on. Anyhow. He said this tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance produces this character. How you go through this tribulation produces this perseverance, and then this perseverance, then during that time of perseverance, then the Holy Spirit can come in and begin to remove some things out of your life, like laziness, like lying and being untruthful. He can begin to remove some things out of your life that you can begin to have that character. He begins to remove doubt and unbelief, which is standing in the way of you having the faith.
Right.
In the manifestation of your healing.
Yes, amen.
Character full of faith. Dependency upon God instead of dependency upon health insurance and hospital.
Amen.
There's nothing wrong with the folks. It's just let's put God where He belongs.
Amen.
First and foremost in our lives. Let's put Him up. Let's put the dependency off on Him instead of the other things, instead of the material things. Let's begin to look to God once again. Why is it going to take all of our men going off to war like it was in World War II before we can ever have a revival? The dependency was up on God. When people turned to God, He said, "I'll heal your land." He said, "I'll heal your land. If you repent and turn to me, I'll heal your land." So back then they began to turn toward God because everybody was gone off to war. There was nobody else to depend on, to turn to. Most of the men were gone off to war, so they began to turn to God. Then out of that came the healing revival. Is it going to take that? Are we going to be able to turn back to God and toward God and put our dependency upon Him? Are we going to begin to turn our faces toward God? Are we going to begin to turn that He can begin to heal our land, heal our families, get our families off of dope, our children off of dope, and out of the things of
earth?
Is it going to take another disaster? So he said that, he said this perseverance would produce the character. That through this, with this perseverance that you had to stand, that character would be produced. And then he said this. He said that the character then, after the character came the hope. See, you can be somebody totally destroyed without any hope. You can have cancer attached to your body without any hope. You can be totally given up without any hope. But if you can lift your hands, if your pulse is beating, and you can lift your hands, there's a chance for you. Because you can produce. You can walk into that hope. And then whenever you cross the line, you've got to get the hope first. You've got to have the hope first.
That's right.
And he said, this produces hope. The end result of this is hope. You've got to have the hope, and then you cross the line out of the hope into the faith that produces results.
Amen.
That you have the manifestation of that healing. Of whatever it is that you need. You've got to have the hope. But if your pulse is beating, and you can lift your hand and begin to worship God in this tribulation, in this adversity, in these circumstances, then you're on your way to the hope that crosses the line into faith and produces healing and miracles in your body. Healing and miracles in your finances. Healing and miracles in your mind. Healing and miracles in your church. Because you lifted your little hand up and said, Jesus, in spite of the circumstances, I worship you out of my born-again spirit. He said, this is the day that you'll worship me in spirit and in truth. Meaning this. This is the day that you'll worship me out of your born-again spirit. A personal relationship. You and I, one-on-one, worshiping me out of your born-again spirit in spite of the circumstances that He set you. Because you love Him. Because you love Him. Produces the hope. And then comes the faith that delivers you from everything that besets you. See, I asked God, you know, whenever He called me to the ministry, I said, Jesus, I just heard too many sermons. I want to teach and to preach things that people can take and use it in their lives to change their life. I don't want to just preach another sermon. There was plenty of preachers around preaching sermons. There was plenty of good preachers around. They got me on a leash tonight. I got real wild last night. I was feeling quite prophetic. Probably more than what some wanted to hear. Anyhow, I asked Him, I said, Jesus, I want to give people something that they can apply out of the Word of God, because I know that Your Word is to change our life. I know that we're supposed to be able to take Your Word, apply it to our everyday life, and be able to walk out of it. I heard a preacher one time, a friend of mine, say, people don't understand the Bible because the world they live in today, so it's not, the examples are not for today. I would have slapped him, except I had a lot of respect for him because he did lead me to the Lord Jesus Christ. That saved him. Folks, the Bible is for today. The Word of God is for today. I see in the book of Jude, if you read the book of Jude, you can really identify with what's happening in the world today. He said, these clouds without water and these twice plucked up trees. He said, there's people that have came into your love feast with the Lord and caused blemishes on it because they've given themselves over to immorality in the pulpit. And their blemishes on your love feast, these twice plucked up trees, meaning that they couldn't decide whether they wanted to be saved or under the law. Under the law, saved. Under the law, saved. Saved under the law. So under the law, saved. Couldn't make a decision. Clouds without water. Clouds that passed by that had nothing to deliver. They sound good. They talk a good sermon, and boy, can they preach. But they don't have anything when it comes time to do it.
No.
That's the book of Judas.
No.
He said, you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, you kept yourself above it. You kept yourself out of it because you chose to pray in the Holy Ghost. Building yourselves up on your most holy faith. Well, when you build yourself up on your most holy faith, you've got to leave something behind.
Amen.
Doubt, unbelief,
yes.
Sin.
Yes.
You, beloved, kept yourself out of it. That's what he was talking. So the Word of God is for today.
Amen.
I believe that He wants us to have some of His images. So I'm going to give you some images tonight. You've got to have an image. You've got to have an image to change to. People can tell you to change and preach to you to change, but if they can't tell you how, they haven't told you much. If they can't tell you how, if they can't tell you what to change to, they can't do much for you. They can preach change all they want to preach change. They can talk about it. The church needs change. The people need change. The preachers need change. But what are you going to change to? And just how are you going to go about changing? Well, that's the job. Well, I've already given out the answer. That's the job of the Holy Spirit is change. But you've got to surrender to Him. You've got to let Him in on your life. You've got to begin to pray in the Holy Ghost and turn your life over to Him and say, I'm going to change one way or the other. And then you've got to know what you're changing to. And whenever the Holy Spirit comes with conviction and a witness in your heart that you need change in this area, you've got to be ready to change. When that rat in the closet, that big rat that has set up housekeeping in one of your closets, when you open that door and the Holy Spirit shines the flashlight on that big dirty rat that's been causing you problems all your life, He shines a light on you. You've got to be ready with the ball bat to hit him in the head. You've got two choices. You can either hit the rat in the head or shut the closet door and ignore it for another 10 or 20 years. And the next time I come to preach here 10 years from now, you'll be the same. Think about it. I have. And I don't want to. I don't want to stay the same. People all around me can stay the same. Churches can stay the same. I don't want to stay. I want His anointing. I want His blessing. I want the inheritance He gave me. It'd be a mockery for me not to take the inheritance. I want everything that He's given me. I want to change. I know that when I change, He can come in more. It's called crucifixion. It's called dying to oneself. That Jesus can come in and live a little bit bigger. Maybe it doesn't matter to you to see the Lord change. With the kids, they can't get it. Maybe it doesn't bother you. Maybe it doesn't cause you to not sleep at night. Maybe it doesn't bother you. It bothers me. It bothers me when I go to Peru, and it doesn't matter how many people get healed or miracles they have, if I leave somebody there in a wheelchair, it bothers me. It bothers me when I can't save a family. Divorce. It bothers me. But I know that it's only His wisdom and His anointing that's going to be able to deliver. It's going to take all of that. And that means less flesh. That means less of me, less emotions, less flesh. That means more of Him, more of that born-again spirit coming forth and reigning over my life. See, you've got inside you the most powerful thing since God Himself. Called your born again spirit. The most powerful thing since God Himself, your born again spirit. God's nature. Jesus. God's nature. You came alive. well, my husband, I just had trouble with my husband. Could you hold my hand? No! I can't hold your hand, but I can show you in the Word of God how you can walk out of it and be free. Let me teach you how to fish. I'm not going to give you no more fish. I'll teach you how to fish. You can go catch your own fish. You can go walk out yourself. Just a couple of quick inches. My word of God. Romans 6:14. You don't even have to turn there. I'm just going to read it to you to make things quicker. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under law, but under grace. Some of you need to start getting that image. Sin shall not have dominion over you. It's already been declared. It's already been done. He said, sin shall not have dominion over you. Not going to be. He said, sin shall not have dominion over you. You need to begin to get that image before you. It's part of the image of Christ. We're to be conformed to the image of Christ. Sin shall not have dominion over you. You need to begin to get that image building inside you. You can pray in the Holy Ghost. He'll build you up on your most holy faith. Yeah. Sin shall not have dominion over you. The Holy Ghost will take that prayer language that you thought was a Pentecostal experience, one time deal only. He'll take that prayer language and begin to pray you to the point. Yeah. You know, this issue of whether tongues is of the evidence or not, folks, it's not even an issue. I don't care if you're Baptist, Pentecostal, I don't care what you are. The evidence of tongues is not the issue. The issue is whether you want the Holy Spirit praying on your behalf. Yeah. Do you want Him involved in your life? Yeah. Do you want Him praying on your behalf, making intercession for you? Yeah. Do you want Him involved? That's the issue.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Sin shall not have dominion over you. That's a pretty good image for some.
Amen.
Oh. Hallelujah, Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:21. You don't turn there, folks. Don't worry about it. For He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. How about that image? You're the righteousness in Christ. Why don't you start to act like it? Why don't you start to see that image of the righteousness in Christ? Why don't you start saying that image? Why don't you open up your mouth? See, I have a lot of trouble sometimes convincing people about confession in the Word of God. I've only got my first example that I give them is in Genesis. God spoke. He had confession long before the witches did. I bet some to say, well, that confession is nothing more than chanting. By His stripes I'm healed. I'm the righteousness in Christ. By His stripes I'm healed. That's nothing more than chanting. Listen, God had the Word and spoke it out of His mouth long before any witch or devil had.
Amen.
And all the devil done was take things and pervert it.
Right.
You need to start that image. I'm the righteousness. You need to begin to get that image. How about this image here while we're in 2 Corinthians? Wasn't going to go to it, but I will anyhow. How about this image right here? In chapter 8, verse 9, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that you through His poverty might become rich. Oh, Brother Rogers, you're just trying to get a big offering. You're just trying to convince everybody to give a lot. No, I'm saying this. This is the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, He took on every bit of your poverty, every bit of your shortness of money at the end of the month. He already took it on, whether you want it or not. He already took whether you want them or not, the riches of heaven, glory to God. He delivered it back to you already. It's not a choice of yours. It's already been given. If you want to go to heaven and say, Jesus, I just didn't want your riches, you can go ahead and do it, but as for me, He delivered to me the riches of heaven and took on my poverty. So, evangelists and preachers, you don't have any choice but to meet your budget. You can't complain about shortness of finances and all that, because He took on your poverty and gave you the riches of heaven. Now I can't meet my budget. Well, you need a new image.
Yes, amen.
I'm amazed, Brother Gerald, whenever I get ready to go to Peru at the amount of money that pours in to go to Peru. I'm amazed at that. I forget how good God is. I forget how big He is. My wife and I have never had a shortfall because God is our supplier. Now, there's been times that I knew that people were supposed to give or supposed to do something, they didn't do it. And He would always speak to me and say, "Don't worry, son. I'm your source.
Amen.
I'll provide somebody else."
Right.
See, we get to thinking, well, you mean, you know, you're believing for money, so it's going to rain out of the sky. No. No, it's not going to rain out of the sky. You're talking Old Testament. We've got a new covenant.
Yeah.
He gave you everything already.
Yeah.
It's not going to rain out of the sky.
Right.
And He'll do this. He sent a man to preach that they might hear the word. How can they hear unless a preacher is sent?
Amen.
Well, how can a preacher go unless somebody sent him?
Stand up.
Hallelujah. Glory. Let me ask you, do you appreciate whether it stepped on your toes or not, and we are going to have a healing line for toes, do you appreciate the Word of God and the truth of
Jesus?
Hallelujah. Give Jesus a hand clap. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you for your Word, Jesus. Thank you for your Word. And His Word is a two-edged sword, and it is double-edged. In fact, you're supposed to turn it on yourself.
Amen.
Well, I like to whack other people with that double-edged sword. Well, you're supposed to turn that sword up on yourself.
Amen.
It divides us. Hallelujah. I like to turn it upon myself because there's some ugly things that I don't like to see, so I turn the Word of God upon it.
Yeah.
Jesus, carve this thing out of me. I don't care what it takes. I don't like it, so carve it out of me.
Yeah.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory be to God. Maybe we could play something soft and gentle and just worship the Lord with it a little bit. And I tell you what, I wouldn't mind hearing "How Great Thou Art." We done that the other night. That would be great. Hallelujah. I love His piano playing. Hallelujah, Jesus. I want you to lift your hands in the song and just begin to sing with Him. In review a little bit from the last two nights, and we'll just take this just a little bit farther, but I want to try to bring everybody in the best that I can and so forth. And if you, at the end of the service, if you feel like, well, that maybe you might have missed out the last couple of nights and would like a copy of the message, and you can see my wife, she'll take your name and phone or name and address and send you a copy of the tape from the last two nights. Feel like at the end that maybe it's something that you needed to hear, because I believe that probably there was a A lot of people got blessed. Some may have not have known what to do with last night. It kind of got in some areas that maybe they weren't used to. You know, this whole deal of like getting up each morning, hating your job, and going to that job day after day after day after day after day and day after day, day after day. With no joy, nothing to look forward to. Because God put something else in your heart, but yet you went on to that job day after day after day. Because you are supposed to pay the bills and you are supposed to keep food on the table for the family meal. But He also put something in your heart. Why go through all your entire life and not do what He put in your heart? Why go to that job each day, drudgery each day, whenever He's put something in your heart that you can be full of joy about doing? All you have to do is take time out and find out what His will is, what His plan is, and then begin to follow. That's what the Holy Spirit's there for. So I think maybe some of them, even though they were blessed last night, maybe didn't know quite what to do with it. Maybe it was a little different preaching than what most of us are used to. And I've found that to be true throughout the country where I've preached, that some of this is just a little bit new to people. They accept things the way it is. And, you know, I never thought to ask God. You know, I remember a story one time that T.L. Osborne told. He said something about, I don't remember totally, but there was this man that went to India and preached for like 30 or 40 years in India and went home, went on to be with the Lord. And before he went home to be with the Lord, though, he said, he told his closest friends, he said, you know, I never stopped to ask Jesus what He wanted me to do. I just went to preach the gospel. And I went to India to do it, but I never asked Him what He wanted me to do. You know, I don't want to do that. I'm sorry, I don't want to do that. I want to know what God has for me. I want to know His plan. I don't want my plan, even if it includes preaching. I don't want to be preaching in India when I'm supposed to be somewhere else. I don't want to be preaching when I'm supposed to be helping other preachers and helps in governments. I want to know exactly what God has for me, what direction, what plan He wants me to follow. I want to be pleasing to Him. I want to be a willing instrument of His hand. That would be a shame to spend your entire life, 40, 50, 60 years. Now, y'all don't have a pastor here like that. He gets on his face before God. I know I've already heard about the prayer time that he spends. And anybody that prays, they're going to know God's plan sooner or later. What I've found is this. Is that you can get off in the wrong area, go down the wrong road, take the wrong fork. But if you're seeking God's face, He'll always set you back on the right path. It's those that are not seeking God that don't seem to find the right path. But as long as you're seeking Him, even if you get off on the wrong road, He will set you straight eventually. Anyone that's yielded to God, He will keep them on the right path. It may be a matter of time, but He'll still get them on the right path. Glory to God. Amen.